He fills my heart with joy, my lips attunes for praise, and to his glory I'll devote the remnant of my days.
Good morning, friends. Good to see you today. Good morning, you beloved community. Thank you for joining us today. Those of you who are here in person, we have the Sandifers back from their massive road trip. Welcome. We're so glad to see you. So glad to see you all here this morning. And those of you trying to watch online, I know it's a little bit sketchy today. Hopefully it clears up a little bit later. But we're so glad that you're here too. Well, today we are here to worship one another, or not one another, worship God with one another. Let's do that instead. We're going to break bread with each other, drink from the cup, we'll hear scripture, we'll be encouraged in faith. We'll do this as a church this morning. Well, I'm going to light our Christ candle to remind us that Christ is indeed among us. Then I will read Psalm 150 for the day. You're going to fill out some of these cards that you see up on the screen, letting us know that you're here, sending out some encouragement and any prayer requests that you might have. Let's light this candle. And now I invite you to stand, please. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 150. I will read all the parts in black, which Chelsea's going to flip to the next slide. On the third slide, we'll make it obvious when it's your time to join in, please. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him for in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And together we say, praise the Lord. Let's worship in song.
This being the Church of Christ, we need to praise him with our voices.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offenders who truly obey, that moment may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
This next song is a song that I believe the church could sing every time we gather. We join together and give our testimony to the world that our God is alive. So sing it with that in mind.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted his skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
You may be seated for our prayer.
Good morning. Always good to see you all here and to hope that everybody in Zoom land is tuned in. Let's pray. Loving Father, I confess that all too often I, and perhaps many more than me, forget that we are the redeemed. Perhaps we do because we live in a world full of distractions. There are wars and rumors of war. For many, there is the loneliness of life. Others have struggles with pride. Some find it all too difficult to forgive. Still others have long seasons of suffering, and there are numerous other troubling distractions. Somehow, Lord, we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by these difficulties of life, and we forget for a time that we live in a post-resurrection world. We forget that we are loved by one who makes everything new, and that we live not in fear of life's challenges or even in fear of death, but in the hope of life as you, O God, planned it. So, Father, fill us with courage to proclaim this life and to proclaim your love for the world, so that, as the psalmist wrote, we will shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. So, Father, with each new day, help us live in the grace, joy, and celebration of Easter. In the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, amen.
How beautiful the hands that serve the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the feet that walk the long dusty roads and the hill to the cross. How beautiful. How beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for her groom with his light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure lives so that others may live. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. And as he laid down his life, we offer this sacrifice that we might live just as he died, willing to pay the price, willing to pay the price. How beautiful the feet that bring the sound of good news and the love of the King. How beautiful the hands that serve the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ.
Sing, church. That's good. Thank you. Dick, thank you for praying for us today. Thank you very much. And Larry, thanks for leading us in song. If you joined us last week for Easter Sunday, thank you for that. You may have also heard that I mentioned we will be in Luke's Gospel for the next couple of weeks, Luke chapter 24. And our schedule will look something like this. Let's have our Roots kids already, they are already moving. That's great. Miss Jessica is at the back table. If our young ones would like to be a part of that group, you go for it. So in Luke chapter 24, our schedule for now looks something like this. Today, we'll talk about the road to Emmaus, what Chelsea will read for us in just a bit. Next week, we'll move to when Jesus surprises his disciples with a sudden appearance. And on May 8th, we'll finish a chapter with four short verses about the Easter blessing. That's where we're heading the next several weeks for our collective gathering services here at Southwest Central, and you are certainly welcome to be a part of all those. Right now, I want to invite Chelsea to come up and read our text from Luke chapter 24.
Luke 24, 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you were walking along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And Jesus asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah who suffered these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathering together. And they were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Amen.
Let's pray together, please. O God, you are our God, and earnestly we do seek you. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. No one in my ancestral family that I know of was a professional baker. I have read both of my grandmother's genealogical findings, and I have never discovered anyone who earned money running a bakery. Before my brother and I, most of the men were in the military. I am the first one that I know of to work as clergy, and my brother is a financial planner, serving with as much integrity in that business as I try to in mine. Meanwhile, the women in our family were mostly teachers or seamstresses or stay-at-home moms. My sister completely broke that mold, as she is the president of her own company in Washington, D.C., of all places, while also the mother of two children. No one may have earned a living as bakers, but my family did bake cakes mostly, which counts in my book. Nothing fancy, mostly just cake mix from a box, and I remember as a kid that after my mom finished pouring the gooey batter into an 8x11 baking dish, she always let her not-yet-financial-planner son, her not-yet-preacher son, and her not-yet-presidential sister lick the spatulas clean of its chocolate, even though the warning labels on the boxes said, please do not do so. My grandmother, alarmingly, always made German chocolate cake. My dad enjoys it for some unbeknownst reason, and she would bake it often, pulling it from her gas oven, icing it over, sitting it on a plate on the counter, covering it with a tall glass covering, ready to consume whenever anyone but me wanted a slice. My other grandmother did her best at making pies. Rhubarb was her favorite, but she never quite mastered that crisscrossing crust pattern on the top of the pie. You know what I'm talking about? But that did not stop us from eating every single bit of it, topping it with bluebell, vanilla ice cream, and special bowls reserved for just such occasions. Last year, my own family developed a sacramental pandemic practice of baking cookies each Thursday or Friday, making enough to get us through the weekends. We bought a book and all, trying our hand at meringue cookies, yuck, and chewy brown sugar chocolate chip cookies, yum. A few years ago, I took Cora to the zoo here in town, and because we were both hungry, I bought a large, soft, warm pretzel, and we gobbled that thing down. Now, whenever we visit, Cora associates reaching the flamingo's enclosure with, we are getting close to the pretzel stand. And I am totally okay with that. Lily and Carter have both been beneficiaries of Cora's foodie behaviors at the zoo, which is a great joy. Beyond dessert baking, my favorite kind of baking, regular bread was not a thing for me growing up. I do recall, however, my mom getting a bread-making machine at some point in my childhood, and in that imprecise recollection, she did use it several times, making wheat bread mostly. She followed the recipe that came with the machine, and the bread was fine, I guess, a little bland, but it got the job done when toasted with a little butter. In the end, the effort it took to make it was not worth the trouble, and even though I have not seen that machine in 30-plus years, I will bet you anything it's hidden on the top shelf somewhere in their house this day. The memory I most associate with my mom and bread is when we lived in Little Rock, Arkansas, and sometimes driving through the city, we would pass by the Mrs. Baird's Bread Factory. From blocks away, we could smell it. We'd roll the windows down. My mom would slow down, and we three kids would stick our noses outside as far as our seatbelts would let us to sniff the fresh bread aroma. And I promise you, Jesus himself was on the other side of those cinder block walls, baking the whole thing. That's how good it was. I don't know how this is even possible, but when I close my eyes, I can still smell that bread smell. I still appreciate being on the receiving end of bread smells. Sometimes some of you bake me cranberry bread or pumpkin bread. Mary Odell, every Christmas season, bakes me bread with fruit tucked inside of it. A neighbor across the street from this building once baked for me a colorful selection of Mexican sweetbreads, and I did not share a single one. If you, too, want to get on my good side, all it takes is a plate of homemade treats, I'm telling you. My own experience with baking bread is virtually nil. Since I do not have a wheat field in my backyard nor a working mill in my garage, I just purchase bread these days, like most of you. Someone else, somewhere else, does the hard work, and I gain from it. Walking to the grocery store, I have the luxury, the ease, and the privilege to pick any bread that I want for an occasion. I still like Mrs. Baird's, of course, for sandwiches, which I typically only eat on Saturdays at home. Between two slices, I'll include some kind of plant-based meat, a piece or two of Gouda cheese, some jalapenos, and if I have them, some sliced black olives. I toast it all together until the bread is nice and warm and the cheese is melted. Include a side of barbecue chips and I'm good to go. Last Tuesday, I purchased a long, crusty baguette and ate it with the corn chowder I cooked for my family on Thursday night. Tortillas have a permanent home in our bread box, flour more than corn. Cora will ask for quesadillas literally 4 to 5 times per week, and I have to stay ready for that. If guests are coming over, I choose a fancy-sounding bread like rosemary sourdough golden grain bread or Asiago cheese bread. We like roasted garlic bread with soups. We use crackers with chili, pretzel buns on veggie burger night, naan anytime I cook Indian curries or Thai food. Perhaps coincidentally, I have started to make my own naan at home. And if you get your pencils ready, I will share with you my super secret recipe. I use just 2 ingredients, an equal mixture of self-rising flour and unsweetened almond milk, unsweetened almond yogurt. Coconut yogurt is okay too. Stir it together until well blended. Add a little bit more of either if it's too wet or dry. Scoop a dollop into a heated nonstick pan on the stove, a few minutes on each side. Top with melted vegan butter, sauteed garlic, and coriander. Do not forget the coriander. And wow, the goodness of my homemade naan is the main topic of conversation at the table, is it not, Chelsea? And it could be yours too. Speaking of tables, why is it that bread always seems to be present during enriching or important or even difficult conversations? Last week, during an Easter lunch with close friends, there it was, a full slice of bread on the corner of my plate, while laughter rang out, and later just the crust of it, while the conversation turned more subdued. Or meals with you at your house, Sister Schubert's dinner rolls buried under a blanket to keep them warm. Or if we go out to eat, a panini wrapped in paper or a hero wrapped in foil. And we ask about each other's lives, what's new, what's hard, how are you really doing? And the bread between us acts not as a rusty third wheel, but as the axle grease that keeps us moving along. If you think I'm kidding about that, then invite someone to Fadi's, get some of their fire-baked bread, and see what happens when their flour-dusted goodness touches your tongue. I'm also thinking of hoagies I've shared with my spiritual director, or blueberry muffins with close friends, or avocado toast with mentors, or bread pudding with my wife, when I've confessed to him that I feel worn out spiritually, or I tell them how tired I am physically, or I lament to them about how death's dominion seems so much stronger than any resurrection from the grave, or she hears as I grieve about what once was but no longer is, and bread, it sits there unblinking and sometimes uneaten, its presence unwavering, even if only crumbs remain. I am inundated with bread. Wherever I look, wherever I go, we are inundated with bread. Bread for sale, bread taking up whole aisles in the store, bread in freezer sections, bread at farmers markets, bread at Walgreens, bread as a side at restaurants, bread scraps scraped into the compost bin, bread chunked into the trash when it's not eaten before the expiration date, bread tossed out for the birds, bread used for science experiments, bread handed out at refugee camps. Bread is both fully expected and largely unexceptional at the very same time. Bread is as common as any food we consume, as ordinary as anything else that we come across, as predictable as anything can be these days. And still, here's what Luke, the master storyteller, says. When Jesus was at the table with Cleopas and the other person, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And later, they told the other disciples what had happened on the road, how Jesus had been made known to them. And the breaking of the bread. These two persons took a 7-mile walk away from Jerusalem's bloody events. They had put everything they had had into the life Jesus had promised, and for what? For all of it had come crashing down into a heap of confusion and embarrassment. Of course, they were downcast, lowly, lonely, and deserted. They had hoped that Jesus was the one he said he was, but what a huge, huge disappointment that turned out to be. While the sudden appearance of a possibly head-covered stranger did ignite a pilot light deep down in their souls, it was not until baked, fresh, provided bread was broken that their squashed, bankrupt, disheartened faith could begin to see again. It was not until Jesus was no longer present in person that they could say, "Didn't we feel on fire when he talked with us on the road, when he opened up the scriptures for us?" The importance for us here today is this. If the whole resurrection story was experienced by only a select few whom Jesus mingled with in person, then we ourselves would be left with a very thin diet of external reports from people we did not know. But instead, thanks be to God, God has left us ample opportunity to consider the aliveness of Jesus with the omnipresence of very simple bread. Whether the bread is leavened or not does not matter near as much as our remembrance of the one who Easters into our lives and our world whenever we eat it. So the abundant nature of bread, as I see it, can do one of two things. Delude us of nourishment, so much bread that we don't even see it anymore. Or increase our sustenance, so much bread that the prospects for recognizing Jesus are endless. Believe me, I am as guilty as anybody when I grab a loaf of bread off the shelf or a small cracker from the plate and not give a second thought to Jesus. But it's when we come together as the body of Christ that we remind one another who we are in Christ and who we are because of him. It's what it means to commune with one another. Jesus' giving spurs on our impulse to share bread with others, blessing it, breaking it, giving it away. When we eat it in community, however large or small that community may be, it just takes one person in the group to say, "This is the body of Christ broken for you," to get everyone else thinking, "Bread of life, bread of life, bread of life." And hearts burn. Scriptures are heard afresh. Feet take us back to the places where we once thought only the dead lived. Bread, ordinary and common, and bread stories of which you too have plenty can do that, opening our eyes wider than we ever thought possible. So let me finish with two more stories of my own, please. I have two favorite communion breads. The first is from when I lived in Oregon for a time. A person from the church I was a part of made it his mission on Sunday mornings to get up early and bake the bread that was to be used during the Lord's Supper in that day's service. It was flat and soft and a tad sweet with a smidge of cinnamon in it. And my very first thought after my very first bite, the very first time was, "Oh my goodness, this bread is so good." And my second thought was, "Wait, can communion bread be delicious? Can I enjoy this? Am I doing something wrong?" The person who baked it each week later told me, "Steve, we have to taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. And this is one way we can do that." Maybe one of you would want to make it your mission to make communion bread for us each Sunday. How great would that be? The other communion bread is Michael Tucker's. Maybe some of you remember that. It wasn't so much bread to me as it was a paper-thin cracker, and if you held it up to the light, you could see right through it, almost the entire face on the other side of it, the one you were sitting next to. He made it so simple: flour, water, roll, salt, bake, serve. And if you remember his bread, you remember how it melted in your mouth. Michael made it for our youth retreats when I was still youth minister, and sometimes he would make it for our Sunday morning gatherings. What made these breads so tasty was not just the scrumptious nature of it. The flavor came because I knew who made it, and I knew why they had made it. They had on purpose baked it for us to share, saying, "Take, eat, it's for you, it's for us. Remember Jesus, who is for you and with you always." The bread we typically eat on Sunday mornings is nothing special. It comes from HEB in a plastic tray wrapped in plastic wrap. It costs $4.49. And yet, because of Jesus, it becomes much more than that. It becomes life in us in abundance. There is always more bread. There is always more bread. This morning, we have a table filled with bread, an abundance of it, all kinds and colors and shapes. Pumpernickel, if that's your thing, sourdough, challah, tortillas. I even made my naan this morning over in the church kitchen. No butter and garlic or coriander, though. Sorry about that. As an aside, you better race my daughter up here if you're going to get any of that. Okay. We also have our normal crackers, too, including our gluten-free ones. In a minute, Larry will come and lead us in song, Come Share the Lord, which is highly appropriate for today. Afterwards, you are invited to come up to the table to come share the Lord with one another. Take whatever bread you would like. If you prefer the unleavened kind, go for it. It's there for you. If you want to try something else, that's good too. The cup, which is Christ's blood poured out for us, is here too. So come and take some bread, take a cup. You can eat and drink right here at the table if you like, or you can do so back at your seat. If you prefer to stay at your seat, that's fine. We'll have one person come around with a tray of bread and a cup. Ruth, do you mind being that person today? Thank you. Just raise your hand and Ruth will come to you. Now, if you do choose to come to the table, please don't touch and taste every kind of bread to see if they are good, okay? Don't do that. They all are good, and we're just trying to keep things a little sanitary. Hand sanitizers up here if you need it. You can take one or two pieces. There's plenty. So, in recap, we'll sing in just a second. We'll come to the table whenever you're ready. A song will play over us. You can stay at your seat if you want, and Ruth will come to you. In preparation for the meal that we, my friends, have been invited by God to eat. I now invite us to stand as we worship in song together. Let's do that now, please.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, our Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Let's eat.
We worship the Savior, thanks for forgiveness is good. His mercy will lead us, the grace of God feed us, making us hungry for more. His body was given for you and for me. Look on the cross and believe. The bread His death reconciled us, we live sanctified to become what we already are. To him who loves us and freed us to love, be glory and honor and praise. The bread has been broken, our eyes have been opened. Restore and renew, your word has been spoken, so humbled and broken. We do all in remembrance of you, the bread has been broken, our eyes have been opened. Oh, come, Lord, restore and renew. Your word has been spoken.
Word has been spoken.
So humbled and broken. We do all in remembrance of you. Your bread has been broken. Come to the table. And worship the Savior, taste what forgiveness is for. His mercy will lead us, the grace of God feed us, making us hungry for more. His body was given for you and for me. Look on the cross and believe. The bread has been broken. Have been opened. Oh, come, Lord, restore and renew. Your word has been spoken, so humbled and broken. We do all in remembrance of you. The bread has been broken, and all those who know him. Believe without touching the scar. His death reconciled us. We live sanctified to become what we already are. To him who loves us and freed us to love, be glory and honor and praise. The bread has been broken. Have been opened. Oh, come, Lord, restore and renew. Your word has been spoken, so humbled and
we have been given abundantly so, so now we also have an opportunity to give abundantly. If that's through your finances, your funds, your money today, thank you. If that's through your time and your efforts, your prayers, thank you for that too. We have Alex and Glenn are going to walk around in just a moment. If you have an offering or some of these cards to place in there, just flag them down while they're walking, and you can place it in there. You can also, of course, give online or bring it to the office, and we'll take care of it that way, too. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, would you give us today, at least, the faith to recognize the abundance that you offer in Jesus. Give us indeed those eyes to see and the ears to hear. Thank you for the bread, which is your body, that it's been broken, for the cup, which is your blood poured out for us. And now we give you thanks for gifts in return that are given. And would you use these funds in whatever way you see fit and deem good. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. We do have, of course, our Thursday Bible class that is ongoing with and Judy. They are teaching via Zoom. If you want to be a part of that class, talk to King and he can connect you. And we also, of course, have Bible classes immediately after we receive a benediction or sent forth from this room. You see classes up there for folks of all ages. A couple weeks ago, you heard Chelsea talk about the new class that she is leading on following Jesus in an age of anxiety. I want to invite Larry Ford as he's going to talk about the class that is going on in here with Dick and Dorian and Larry, all as this class's teachers.
For several years, Dick, Dorian, and I have taken the mantle formerly held by Bill Watson in teaching the auditorium class. And basically, we wait for everyone to clear out of the auditorium, and then we begin our lessons. People generally move towards the front, but we got a lot of space for, I mean, space for all of you to be part of that class. We're studying Revelations. We are probably in our fourth or fifth week, so we're fairly early in it. We do a textual study, and I brought this up here to show you. This is our bag of books, and basically these are books that have been retrieved from the library that deal with Revelation. Our goal in the class is basically to understand the Bible as it was written, why it was written, the purposes that it addressed, and then try to make that relevant for our own world. The class is primarily lecture. We come prepared to talk for about the hour or 45 minutes that we have, but that doesn't mean that we don't stop if people have objections, questions, or insights of their own. So it's a class that we enjoy teaching, and it certainly shaped my understanding of the Bible very much as I've taught it over the years. So I encourage you to remain for an extra hour and be part of that class for the next several weeks as we try to understand the book of Revelation. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. In the early church, after they had met and worshiped and ate together, if they had any food left over, they would bring it to people who, for whatever reason, could not be in that gathering with them that day. They would bring all the leftovers to other people. If they were hungry, yes, but also as a way to say, you are not forgotten and you are missed. On purpose, there is an abundance of bread left over. So, if you yourself are still hungry after this meal, if you would like to take some home, please do. Or if you want to take some of this bread to somebody else who cannot be here today for whatever reason, do that too. This is the way that you can bless others with the body of Christ, that they are not forgotten. So, this is all for you. Even some of my bread is left over. That's impressive. I have plenty of to-go bags right here if you want to come and get some immediately after we dismiss here. I'll put them up on this table and you can take whatever you'd like to give away, whatever you need. As we finish today, I invite you to stand now, please. Receive this blessing, this benediction, as we go forth from here. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it. He gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" He was talking to us on the road while he was opening up the scriptures to us. That very same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered. And they were saying to each other, "The Lord has risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon." Then the men on the road told them what had happened to them on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. May you see Jesus often this week. Go forth in peace and purpose.